This is RSBNB Update, episode 255, recorded Friday, May 7th, 2010. RuneScape Game Paddles. Hello, everybody. Welcome to RSBNB Update 255, take two. Yes, we had a slight problem beforehand, but we're not going to mention that right now. That's Mr. Chief Snake here, Brad
2.0.4, actually, according to one of these questions.
Okay, I thought that was the one. And we also have a special guest this week from GameBattles.com. He's going to be here explaining to us what Game Battles is and how the RuneScape ladder works. His name is Jeff.
Hello, everyone.
So, this week we only have one RuneScape update to discuss, and that's the poll. It takes all sorts. Basically, it's a poll gauging what the general RuneScape population would do in certain situations. They say it's just for fun, but they want to figure out how their community would see the world.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, because you know that it's always something you see. It's different in game compared to what this poll says, but we'll get to that. So you want to take the first question then?
Again, righto. You see a grotty little dog wandering around outside of the Grand Exchange. Do you try to find it a home? A stray dog is a problem waiting to be solved. Leave it be. The dog has the same rights as I do. It's practically a four-legged version of me. Or wouldn't it be great if I could annoy that dog so it started biting people? The last option being what I would imagine the majority of RuneScape players would probably pick. However, as I have some standards, I would pick leave it be. I'm not going to try and find it at home because I don't have that kind of time on my hands.
Yeah, that's true. So, yes. And the winner is, with 45%... leave it be.
Oh, yay.
Followed by 28% would find it at home, then 27% would just start annoying the dog, so it would start biting people.
Oh, yeah. Could be worse.
It surprised me.
I was part of that 27% of trying annoying it.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Well, this is on RuneScape. Yeah. Would you do the same thing in real life? Or would you actually...
Of course not.
Okay, yeah. See, I answered this question as if I was in real life, so, but, anyways. Yeah, there is a Grand Exchange in real life. It's in New York. It's called Wall Street.
It's called the Stock Exchange.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Which brings up a good question. Will Jagex ever be a publicly traded company? That'd be interesting. Anyways, I don't know, because if you buy stocks, you kind of have to watch what you say in relation of disclosures and whatnot. So, but one stock I did wish I would have bought back in the day in 2004 was Google.
But doesn't everybody?
That's a topic for another day. Another day. Question two, Jeff. You want to take this one?
Sure, I'll take it. Question two. You find yourself competing with a fellow adventurer for a resource. Do you agree to take turns in an effort to keep things even? Life's too short. Rather like gnomes. Then they leave. You're clearly more important than them, and they should know their place. Or settle this in a PvP world with a fight that can only be described as carnage. Once again, I went with the one with all the fighting, and I went with carnage.
Okay, Brad?
I would not settle this in a PvP world. I don't have time to settle things in PvP worlds. That's my excuse, obviously. It's not just because I'm weak and useless. I would probably agree to take turns in an effort
take
to keep things...
turns? Going.
Because life is too short. Rather like gnomes.
Are you a gnome?
Yeah, you... Yes. You would not take turns, Shane. You are definitely going to demand they leave.
Actually, no. I said the PvP world one.
Or the okay. Except because you wouldn't actually do that. So
no,
you're
I
a
wouldn't
liar.
Do that because I don't have the amount of time to go get my
exactly.
fighting equipment. And
exactly.
stuff. But if it was in real life, yeah, I'd do that.
Oh yeah. What if I came over and stole your I don't know your food? What would you do to me, Shane? Would you punch me out?
No, I wouldn't punch you out. I'd just make you grow some more.
Okay.
Yeah. Question 3. You're on a quest and you realize you need some assistance to help you complete it. Do you ask around your friends list for some help? After all, you've always tried to help them. Hunt down a victim, get the help you need, and then PK them on the way home? Wah-ha-ha-ha. Forcibly volunteer someone, the day you asked them for help will be the greatest day of their life.
That's like, that reminds me of Fight Club.
What's Fight Club?
Oh, don't worry.
Is it a movie?
Yeah.
You forgot rule number one.
What's rule number one?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I just never have seen that movie. So, what year was it from?
It's great. 90 something, I think, wasn't it?
Okay. So I read those in order of the results. 64% say they'd ask around your friends list for help. After all, you've always tried to help them. Followed by hunt down a victim, get the help you need, and then PK them on the way home. 9%. And 6% is forcibly volunteer someone. The day you ask them for help will be the greatest day of their life. That kind of sounds like a military conscription service, doesn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, what'd you guys pick on this one?
I finally went with the pacifist option and went with ask around your friends.
Oh.
Yeah, I chose
See,
that
I would have gone to hunt down a victim, get the help you need, and then PK them on the way home.
But you never even PK'd anyone.
Yeah, I was just... sometimes I just feel that need. When you go with the nice options all the way along, then you've got to have some fun somewhere along the way. So.
Well, then how come... Next time you get a moth in your room, why don't you PK the moth instead of putting it outside?
Because we're talking about RuneScape. In real life, you don't just go around killing harmless insects, Shane.
Jeff, if you have a bug flying in front of you, annoying you, do you kill it or try and capture it and put it outside?
I kill it.
See?
Oh, you bastards. How could you?
Anyways, next question, Brad.
Question 4. Two players are having a dispute. Do you wade right in and tell them just what to do? Because you're the brains and the beauty, right? Avoid the situation. Whatever they decide will be the right thing. Plus, conflict gives you hives. Or escalate the argument so it can only be resolved in the duel arena. Death and glory. And they spelled argument wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
I would avoid the situation because conflict gives me hives.
Okay.
Although I don't agree that whatever they decide will be the right thing, because RuneScape players can never decide on anything. It's quite sad.
Jeff?
I escalated the argument.
Okay.
Not yet.
Because sometimes when you're playing RuneScape, it just gets so boring, and then it's like, you know what? This looks like something interesting.
That's true. It's true. I mean, sometimes you just can't resist.
You know,
not
I've
that
never
I have actually done that, but
you know, I've never walked in on two people.
I can understand why
on RuneScape having a conflict like this and had to deal with it. I just never seem to find those kind of things.
Well, really? You just go to the Grand Exchange.
Really? Yeah, I just never see them when I'm there. It's always quiet.
Oh my god! I wish I was you.
Only things I see are people in. And Catherby having little problems about what the best way is to cook their fish, actually.
back in the day when I was working on 99 woodcutting, I was chopping magics up there by Sears. And whenever there was like three trees available and there was only three people, everyone would always get in arguments and be like, get your own tree. This is my tree. Leave it alone.
Oh, see, we used to have those arguments probably when Shane and I were getting 99 woodcutting, except we didn't do it together because I wasn't a member at the time, and Shane was, so you know, he used his own world, and I just used mine. And, all of the people on the free worlds suck at woodcutting, but they don't realize how good you are, and so they try and contend you for the same tree, and then after about 5 minutes when they realize they're not getting any logs, they kind of... stop.
I would cut with the...
It was pretty funny getting 99 woodcutting. I quite enjoyed
it. I would cut
that.
With the number 7.
And they would argue it. Yeah, they would argue with you at ages. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. We did an Informer interview with him once. I wasn't able to get him on the show. But he was interesting because he...
Fraternizing with the enemy.
His reason to do woodcutting was just because he found it enjoyable. And I think he told his friends he was going for, eventually rank 1, which I don't think happened, but he did end up doing it, but they thought it was a dare. But anyways, that's just a little tidbit about our history and whatnot. So, oh, and by the way, the winning choice for that one is avoid the situation. They will, whatever they decide will be the right thing. Plus, conflict gives you the hives at 50%. Followed by Wade write in and tell them what to do at 26%, and then escalate the argument at 24%. You know, that's a good choice, I think, in general, of what should be done. Should also be done as... That's also what I would do in real life as a problem. I'm not one to typically get involved with other people's problems. I like to let them sort it out, then work with whoever was emerged victorious there. So,
yeah. Question 5?
Yes. Jeff, you want to take that one?
Sure. Your group is finally at the deepest level of Daemonheim. Your group is running low on food. Do you give it only to those that have put the work in? This isn't a charity event. It's serious business. Share it out nice and even. After all, we fight together, we die together. Well, hopefully not die. And om nom 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 nom. I'm stuffed. You looked angry. What's up? I gotta say, this is the one I did take real life into consideration, and I went with om nom nom.
Fair enough.
Brad?
I would actually say give it only to those that have put the work in.
Okay.
It's serious business.
I went with that one too, but it would depend if I needed the food or not. If I needed the food, I would have chose the third one, but I assumed I already didn't need the food, so I'd give it away. Because it says your group is running low. So that means you have food that you don't need. So that's why I went with that one. But if I did need the food and the group was running low, I'd just eat it anyways.
Yeah, you would.
Not that I've done that at any past God Wars events.
Oh, no, not at all. Question
anyways,
6.
Yes, you can have that one.
Oh, okay. You've come into some money and decide to start constructing a house, as you do. Do you try and build the most insanely ornate and opulent house you can as a testament to your greatness? And they also spelled testament wrong. A house that simply serves the needs of yourself and others. Mikasa Esukasa? Know what that means. Or a house that is wall-to-wall death traps and monsters. Comfort is overrated. Maiming is...
You still there?
Yep.
Okay, just had a little cutout there.
No, that wasn't a cutout.
So which did you pick?
Probably the most insanely ornate and opulent house that I could.
Okay. Jeff?
House that has wall-to-wall death traps.
First off, what does mi casa e su casa mean?
My house is your house?
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
Okay.
What language is that?
Spanish.
Oh, right.
I said the most insanely ornate and opulent house you can, as a testament to your greatness. Why not, if you have the money and there's nothing else to spend it on? Oh, maybe that's what I'll do with my 102 mil sitting in my bank, train construction, and build a nice house. Because I haven't spent any of it, you know? The last time I spent major money was, oh... What last skill did I get to 99 before agility? Does anybody know attack?
No.
That was attack before that. Yeah, so my last money I spent would have been on combat equipment at this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe I should just do that.
Yeah, if you do construction, then I would do it with you, and I would have probably have a reason to play then.
Well, maybe that's a deal after Project Brad is done.
Yeah, he's at my 30k oak planks.
Can I have them?
No.
Oh. See, I was thinking about this last night. I was wondering if you'd give me your oak planks if I decided to train construction.
Oh, wow, they're low, 460 each.
Ooh, maybe I should buy.
Look, yeah, they're really low compared to what they were.
Anyways.
You know, looking over this poll, it seems that, like, most of the RuneScape population is very nice people.
Yeah. I seriously doubt the accuracy of this poll, you know?
Yeah.
But...
I've got a feeling people just rushed through it, chose the very first answer to see the poll.
I was going to do that, actually. Then I thought, no, that would be shallow.
So anyways, that's that, the RuneScape poll. It takes all sorts of people, you know? It takes all sorts of people to do any sorts of things. It takes people to come onto this show to talk about various RuneScape updates. It takes people to edit the show and upload it after. And it takes certain people to run websites such as GameBattles.com, which Jeff does. So... let's talk a bit about that, shall we?
All right.
So first off, for our listeners out there who haven't heard of GameBattles.com before, could you give them a brief overview of what GameBattles.com is?
Yeah, well, GameBattles.com is basically a competitive gaming website where members who have registered to the website can compete competitively against one another on ladders. And get ranked up within the ladder and game battles as well.
Okay. Next thing, what's your specific role in regards to the RuneScape ladder, as that's why you're here?
Well, my role in the RuneScape ladder is I'm in RuneScape admin, which I basically take care of if people have, you know, disputes and, you know, arguments over what scores are or, you know, that kind of stuff. All that fun stuff. Yeah, they submit tickets to the system and, you know, I answer tickets, you know, I resolve disputes. So.
Okay. Are there any memorable situations that you want to share or can share?
Oh, plenty. one of the biggest rules is that one of the options for fighting is no armor, you know, because a lot of the matches take place in the duel arena, and no armor is an option. When you do no armor, you know, you can't be wearing any armor at all, but you also have to leave the shield on, you know, as usable, because if people are going to use range, then they need that slot, you know. So a lot of times people do that, and then they'll use a shield, and people record these matches because it's serious business. And they'll record, and they'll be like, hey, he was using a shield, and then the other guy will submit a ticket and be like, shields were allowed, can't you tell? That's the classic example.
I bet that's fairly common then, isn't it?
Oh, extremely.
Okay. How does game battles work in relation to RuneScape clans? Like, is there a difference to them? Can clans use game battles, or is it more of a individual kind of thing?
Well, it's more of an individual kind of thing, really. We have a singles ladder and a doubles ladder. And the singles ladder, of course, as it says, you know, it's one person on a team that, you know, competes against one other person. And that'll take place at the dual arena because of, you know, that keeps it easy, one versus one. And they'll get ranked, you know, they get ranked up on the ladder, you know, as an individual. And, you know, top 32 teams actually at the end of the season get into the playoffs. And the way that clans can actually use this well is because we also have a doubles team, you know, ladder. And for doubles teams, you know, it's two players playing against two other players, and that actually takes place at the Clan Wars arena. So, I mean, clans can get involved. You know, if you're in a clan, you could just be like, hey, you know, you want to do game battles with me? And they'll be like, yeah, sure, you know, so.
Okay. And now you say singles versus doubles. Where are the doubles matches carried out besides Clan Wars?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, actually, doubles matches are only carried out at Clan Wars because you have multiple types of maps that you can use and that kind of stuff. And there's actually our system. Well, when you do a doubles match, it will generate what maps you're going to be playing on, you know, along with all the rules that each team has set up. So,
oh, that's interesting. So, in effect, you guys have your own kind of random scenario generator that you use to specify what the people will be doing in Clan Wars.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I never thought of that before.
Good.
So are people most of the time happy with what they get as a result of the random scenario, or?
Well, you know, it really can't be controlled. So, I mean, if they're not happy, they just got to really deal with it.
And, okay. So in other words,
like, I don't want that redo. No, you can't do that.
So in other words, if you got somebody who's a peer of some sort and they get a match they can't play, they have to play anyways to the best of their ability?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Are there any other areas of PvP that are used besides the Duel Arena and Clan Wars, like maybe the Bounty Hunter or the standard PvP worlds?
Not currently, because the way we look at those is that, you know, with Bounty Hunter and the standard PvP worlds is there's absolutely a chance that there can be interference. And with interference, it could cause, you know, chaos within a match, and people would have to replay matches, and that just makes our job harder.
I suppose there's not really much point in using PvP like Bounty Hunter and the PvP worlds if you've got things like the Duel Arena and Clan Wars, which would work perfectly for what you want to do.
Exactly, yeah, that's...
It's not like you need the sort of extra rewards from Bounty Hunter and stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. And nobody's ever tried to use a player-owned house combat ring for this?
No.
Okay, just wondering, just had to check on that because...
That's an idea.
I've seen some strange things happen with the player-owned house combat. But. And also, why should people choose game battles over general clan-based competition in their clan? Like... Why should two people use game battles as kind of an intermediary to set up their combat event?
Well, they really don't have to, you know, choose between their clan and game battles, because game battles, you can set up matches anytime you want to. You know, it's not like every day set time, hey, you have to be at this match, you know, unless you've set one up for that time. So if you know, for your clan, say you have a war, you know, with your clan at 6 o'clock, you could set, and that war is going to be done about, you know, 7:30. You could set up a match for 8 o'clock, you know, and when somebody accepts it, you can come, you know, you're all done, your clan, you're pumped, and then you can go play game battles and get ranked up.
Okay, so in other words, it's sort of a parallel PvP aspect compared to a clan, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, parallel.
And then, but a clan could use it if they wanted for setting up a battle between one member of their clan and, say, one of their rivals, for example. If
they wanted. They could do that.
Okay. Have you ever had any clans do that?
I have not ever seen that happen. You know, we've had many of the top clans that know about game battles, you know, come onto our forums and be like, hey, why don't you create a massive, you know, clan ladder where, you know, it's unlimited how many people you can have on a team. And we have not, you know, really decided on whether or not we will do that, you know, because it would create a whole lot of work, a whole lot of, you know, setting up how it would all end up being, so.
Yeah, I can imagine that, actually. But I think from what I get so far from your answers is that Game Battles is more designed to be for a specific game in general, providing a service rather than providing a service to the clans in that game.
Exactly.
Okay. Before we wrap up this section, are there any Game Battles stats that you want to share with us, like registered members or that sort of thing?
Yeah, well,
stats.
Game Battles itself overall, you know, the general website has a registered amount of 4,389,007 users.
Oh, that's lots.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. And, you know, RuneScape is not the most popular ladder we have either. Obviously, that's going to be more like your Halo 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for the 360 is by far our biggest ladder, you know.
Oh, interesting. People didn't stick with the first Modern Warfare?
No, because I used to be on the original Modern Warfare staff, and after Modern Warfare 2 came out, the Game Battles made a lot of hype about it, and after it came out, just everybody went over there. There's still some people who play Call of Duty, you know, the original one, but it has definitely dropped, you know, pretty much almost off the radar in terms of Game Battles.
It's kind of as to be expected.
Yeah. I mean, come on, in Call of Duty 4, you can only use one weapon attachment, where in 2, you can have, like, 5, I think. No,
That is a benefit of Modern Warfare 2, but Modern Warfare 2 also has its own unique oddities, as I like to call them.
Mm-hmm.
But, how many games does Game Battle support? Do you know, or...?
I don't have an exact number, but we have, I believe, close to, between 20 and 30 Xbox 360 games. I'd say that's about the same amount for the PS3. We have one Nintendo DS game, and that would be Pokemon.
well, that's fine, you know. I say anybody who likes Pokemon can like Pokemon, even if they're 17, right, Brad?
No.
Okay.
But I actually have talked to some of the Pokemon admins, and they say they get the best tickets, you know, for laughs out of the entire game.
Yeah, they would.
Well, Game Battles is certainly interesting, so we want to say that everybody should head over, check Game Battles out, and check out the RuneScape Game Battles ladder. You can find the link to both of those in our show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Unless there's any specific link that Jeff would like to hand out that's different than the RuneScape ladder one.
Oh, no, that's the perfect one to go to.
Okay.
Because that'll actually help people and show them how to create teams and that kind of stuff.
Alrighty then. We're going to move on right now to our regular listener questions. We have 4 of them this week. 4 of them that are audio questions.
Audio questions.
Yes. Anyways, the first audio question this week is from Optimaniac.
Dear Shane, Brad, and guest, I was wondering if you could explain to me why sometimes when you sell an item, you get more than what you sold it at, and why sometimes when you buy an item, you get extra money back. Also, I was wondering if you thought there should be a major farming update soon, since I think the skill is getting a bit boring as it is. Thanks, Optimus.
Yes!
Either of you guys have Grand Exchange experience? I want to take that.
Yeah.
Okay, you can take the part on the Grand Exchange then.
I kind of forgot a little bit about it already. I was paying attention to the farming one.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that happens
sometimes.
Oh,
good
sometimes.
On you. Good on you. That is the one you're supposed to pay attention to, so forgive me for that.
Basically, he's wondering why sometimes when you buy or sell an item, you get more money back than was expected.
Yeah, it's all dependent on the demand, really. So if there's a lot of, I mean, if someone's already put in an offer to buy something, but no one's selling it at the time, then the first, say if there's already an offer from someone to buy something at max price, and then you try and sell it, the same thing at mid price, then it will be sold to that person for the price that they're buying it for. And so, therefore, you will get extra money. And it works the same way if you are buying something, but there are already lots of people who are selling it at the, say, the mid price, the minimum price. So if you try and buy it at max price or something, then you will get it for the min price, and you will get your money back. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. Farming, yes, needs an update.
I'd be interested to see a farming update. I'm not going to lie, my farming is horrible. I am below 30. Shame on me. but you know what? Once I started listening to the shows and all I heard about was farming, I'm like, well, what's so interesting? And now I'm hooked. I really enjoy farming now.
Yeah, all that it really takes is getting in the correct rhythm and knowing what you have to do. And once you do that, I think it's the best skill in the game. But
yeah.
What would you update it with?
Yeah, good question as to what they could do, but I don't know.
I think more vegetables maybe or something. Maybe some more trees as well, like fruit trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, make the allotments more interesting, because I mean, currently there's no real reason to farm those.
Maybe something that would help aid another skill than the ones that it's already aiding.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be interesting, hey? You already got crafting for basket weaving, but basket weaving, who weaves baskets? And herblory for your herbs, of course, but that kind of takes a little bit longer than you'd like. So I don't know, what skill could they involve that with? Summoning, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking originally.
Yeah, because, I mean, in Dungeoneering, don't you have to grow certain things that...
Yeah, that was the second thing that came to mind.
Yeah, but the problem is, you can't use Dungeoneering outside.
Yeah.
The Dungeoneering is a different... practically a different game, so it's like there's two different things to update, but I don't know. But yeah, it needs an update. Thank you, Optimaniac. Next one is from Defy All Odds.
Dear hosts, Defy All Odds here as always. Just wondering about your guys' opinions on when Jagex will open their eyes and finally give Smithing the update that it's been needing for quite some time, because for that skill it's pretty much proved useless to nothing more than just getting the 99, because you know, you get 40 defense to a rune, but you can't smith rune until like 80 smithing, and by that time you're most likely wearing something better. So just wondering what you guys' thoughts are on that, and if you think Jagex will ever fix it, and if they do, when will they do it? Thanks, and as always, to Defy All Odds out.
Hey. Smithing. Anybody here fan of smithing?
Not in particular.
Okay. No, smithing has never really served much purpose in modern RuneScape.
Yeah, but I'm inclined to agree.
I do agree that it could use an update. I've always thought that if they were to do anything to the smithing skill, throw in a new armor that's either, you know, that could possibly be greater than Dragon or somewhere around there, you know, because a lot of the armors they've thrown in over time have not been the greatest, but...
Yeah, that's true. Know. But... They're in the Q&A from the content team a while back, they said that they are thinking about smithing and exactly this problem. They said one of the ideas was potentially to re-level smithing so that rune would be around level 60 or so. But they said they don't want to do that because then they'd piss everybody off who'd already got 99 smithing, and they don't exactly have anything decent that could be put in to fill the gap, you know? And then the question is, then how would that affect everything else, such as Barrowhouse and God Wars? So.
Well, my opinion on that, what I think they should do is that if they drop the level, throw in an armor, you know, that's just about as, you know, in a new ore, you know, obviously, that's, you know, just when you craft it, it's going to be just around as good as dragon armor, you know, because that way, you know, you have now have armor that you can craft that's near as good as dragon rather than having to go out and find all of it or buy it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, it might work if whatever was introduced was less than Barrows and God Wars, because, well, maybe just less than God Wars, since who really cares about Barrows now? It's it's relatively low-priced. Anybody can get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I think as long as it was less than God Wars, it would be okay. But question is what? And does it have special abilities? Where do you put the rocks, you know? But it's an interesting question, and yes, so we all think it does need sort of an update. Anybody else have anything on this?
I don't know. It's hard to suggest anything that they could add to smithing, considering how much they've already messed it up with them. you know how easy it is to train and.
With stealing creation.
Things like that. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Defile Odds. Next one is from Asa.
Here's Shane, Brad to the second, and guest. Three questions. One, Shane, would you watch a Star Trek series based on last year's movie by J.J. Abrams with the new cast and a completely alternate storyline? Two, Chief, how involved in the metal creation process will you be now that Mike and Shane have actually approved the idea? And three, everyone, could RSVN be possibly classified as a clan for the game battle's ladder or any other ladder for that matter? Thanks to the great show, ExileQ/BrimK.
Wow. Okay. So the first part about Star Trek. I'd watch it. It would have to depend on whether or not it was one of these cliche modern sci-fi series, you know, that have come up in the past year or so. Because there was one, I forget what it was called. Defying Gravity, but that turned out to be like a soap opera in space. If it turned out to be something like that, I don't think I would watch it. But otherwise, sure, as long as it maintains the generic feel of Star Trek, I think. What about you guys? Star Trek? Jeff?
No.
No. Based on the movie from last... Oh, no, actually, if it was a series, no, I still wouldn't watch it. Sorry. I can stand that. The movie was good. I have to give it some props, but as a series, it would probably suck.
Okay. Metal creation? I don't think I've talked to you about specifically doing anything for the metals system, have I?
Which one of us? I don't... No. I don't
because...
Really... I missed the question.
He was wondering if you're going to be involved in the metal creation process, like if you're going to be, I guess, making the metals or not.
I don't know. Yeah, Shane hasn't asked me about that or anything, but I wouldn't mind.
Because what we were kind of hoping with the metal system on the forums, forums.rsbnb.com for anybody who doesn't know, is that the community will suggest ideas for the metals, and then we'll suggest kind of a concept design that we can kind of take and tweak from there, you know? Ideally, we'd like to get concept designs for each metal in, and then we actually make the metal from there. So we want the community to be highly involved in the creation process.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably get Chief to help with some of the finer details.
But then, of course, you got to remember it's probably quite a long way away yet.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm still designing the back end of how it's going to integrate into the forum system. And I have to do this in such a way that it's a small add-on, that it doesn't change massive sections of code, so that's when it's time to upgrade to the next version of PHP BB, we're not experiencing great pain. So that's kind of where we're at with that. And yep. I guess, did we answer the last part in our game battle section or not? Would RSBNB qualify as a clan? I guess we could use game battles if people wanted to, right? I guess that would be the answer based on what we've done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before. So, thank you, Asa. Our final question is from the beloved Earth271072.
Hello, Shane, TV, and mysterious guest. Have you guys ever had any experience with radix or radices? I don't know. I'm going to include a link in my question, so you know, you'll know what it is. But do you guys have any ideas on how I should apply this to my geometry project? Help would be much appreciated. And it's due on Thursday, and I already need 100. Love, Earthy.
Okay, for anybody out there who doesn't know, a radix is the base of kind of an exponent. Huh? Cough?
For anyone out there who doesn't know, I have no clue at all.
All it is the base of an exponent. Like, if you have if you have an exponent of x to the n, the x is the radix. It's just a fancy way of saying that.
A fancy That's way all. Of saying base. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm assuming that base is not a mathematical term that mathematicians like to use in their day-to-day workings. Yeah. Brad,
so they could just sound cooler.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, Brad, when I've talked to you about a few math things in the past, I've used different terminology and tried to use different notation than English. So, of course, it's just a base, so as it would be 2 to the power of 8 would be 256, the radix of that is 2. As to how you'd work this out into a geometry project? Ooh. Geometry isn't really my sort of thing. Well, no, it's like, geometry isn't my thing. Calculus, yes. Vector calculus, yes, as well. So, I don't know. I don't know how you'd work this out. I guess what you could do is, you could do an analysis of radices for a certain picture you draw. You could turn math into art. So what I would recommend you do is you create a set of equations that you like that make a nice picture, you know, and then do an analysis of the radices and then come to a general conclusion as to what kind of radices are needed to make nice art. In fact, I did a project like this in one of my courses where we had to take a bunch of math equations, compute derivatives, and then make some art with them. But we didn't do any analysis on radices and whatnot.
I failed math in the 10th grade, so I have no idea what we were talking about.
Brad, do you want to do that? Make some art with your math stuff?
Well, I already do that in Illustrator.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The Illustrator is a little vectors anyway.
Yeah, so uh-huh. Hey, there's an idea. You could make a vector graphic using Illustrator or Inkscape or something like that, and then I'm sure you could feed these vectors out into something like an SVG, and then you could calculate the radices of the curves that you use. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
but you're going to need more time between now and Thursday to do that, I'd imagine, because for one thing, Illustrator isn't going to be using basic quadratic formulas. It's going to be using something quite more complex, I'd imagine. But anyways, yes, we wish you the best of luck in relation to that. That has to be the nerdiest question we've had in a long time. Anyways,
I've probably asked you nudia questions, just not on the
show. No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Brad, next one.
Hey, Shane, Brad 2.0.4, woot, upgrade, and game battles guy/girl. Do you think that they will ever introduce dual wielding? I've been wanting to do this for a long time and wonder if it's a possibility. And by dual wielding, I mean like a sword or mace, rather than a defender. Brad, do you want to play dress up and have a tea party? Ha, XD. I would love to, for the record. Your friend, Des Zach. I don't actually think they will ever introduce dual wielding. I've seen it in some other games, but it's not
Modern
really...
Modern Warfare 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that has relevance to RuneScape. Yeah.
No. My answer is no as well.
No.
Because... Go ahead.
Well, I considered when they brought out the Defender to be a dual-wielding kind of aspect, but if you're talking about with, like, you know, dual-wielding DDSs, that will never happen.
Yeah, kind of even though you could theoretically hold two of them in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for, say, some weapons, it could be, like, a possibility. But I don't think they will ever be fully integrated, fully integrated sort of dual-wielding.
You could have two whips, and then you could use that, like, drive a horse around. Because don't horse people have whips?
Yeah, but they only have one.
Oh, they only have one? I thought they had two.
Not that I've known of.
Well, no, but what are those those things that they use to... They slap the horse with, and that are in both hands? Then they pull on to make the horse stop?
Oh, those are the reins.
Yeah, but those are used as whips, so why not have two whips and just let the horse go?
But they're not used as whips.
Well, they slap the horse with it to go. Have you ever not ridden a horse?
No, but... Oh. They do... It's more like a cane thing on... Sorry.
Oh.
I'm not sure if you're talking about... Like old, sort of.
Yeah.
I'm thinking old style, like 1800s. Yeah, horse and cart.
They would have both the reins and a whip, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to picture that.
Yeah, but.
Anyway.
No to the dual wielding question. And yes to the tea party. Aren't there some people on your street that you'd play tea party with and then talk about RuneScape?
No.
Okay, just checking. Thank you, Des Zach. I'll take the next one. Hello, host and random person. Shane, what's the largest party you have gone to in Dungeoneering? Four people. It's an easy one. Chief Snake, what is your favorite skill?
Farming.
Of course.
I'm surprised I had to hesitate to say that.
And some random person. What game do you play the most?
Oh, is that me?
Jeff. Yes, that's you, Jeff.
I gotta be honest, I do play a lot of... if we're going with video games here, it's Modern Warfare 2. But okay. If we're going non-video games, I play a lot of football. You know, backyard football with my buddies.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
What platform do you play Modern Warfare 2 on?
360, duh.
Okay. I just thought it might be the PS3 or something, or the PC.
No, I actually have seen it on the PC. I do not like it.
Okay.
Makes a lot of things confusing for me.
Any other games that you play?
This is going to be rather embarrassing, but I do play NASCAR here and there.
Oh, what's wrong with that? That's perfectly fine. NASCAR's fine, but... NASCAR's got to be fine if Pokemon's fine, right?
Yeah. I truly am like a big NASCAR fan. I went to the race last weekend.
That's why you couldn't come on the show that week.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. And backtracking, what's your favorite RuneScape skill? So we have this on record.
My favorite skill, woodcutting. No question.
Okay. Yeah, I liked woodcutting too. I found it nice and relaxing. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, it was good when we did it. There were probably times when I got really bored of it, but at the same time, it was a fun thing to just add memories. Sorry, say what you were going to say.
Well, the reason I like it so much is because when I was, you know, I got 99 woodcutting a couple years ago, but when I was, you know, I just became a member, you know, I was level 30, I was awesome. And,
yeah.
You know, I did not like combat too much. I was more about socializing. And, you know, I went out, started doing woodcutting and figured out, you know, hey, woodcutting, fishing, all that stuff, that's a lot of socialization. And I didn't like fishing. I don't know why. I just do not. It annoys me. But I loved woodcutting.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I mean, I got 99 woodcutting relatively easily, but if I were doing it again, there would be no way that I could get 99 fishing.
I don't mind. I find, for me, fishing and woodcutting the same. The one I don't like is mining.
Yes, because not a lot of, you know, when you go mining, there's not a lot of people. You know, it depends on where you're going, and most of the time when I go mining, I find no people.
Now, thanks to that update in the if you go to the Living Rock Caverns, then
and
that's where you're going to be for mining generally, unless you actually are hardcore enough to go with granite, which is that's just insane. Living Rock. I actually could be a Living Rock Caverns for mining as opposed to fishing, which is strange because I never liked mining before. Hated it with a passion.
Yeah, me too. I still do. I used my Wellgothic sleep reward to get 71 mining from 64.
Around there. You haven't got haste yet?
No.
Have
Thank you,
actually
those
put
questions.
Down in the heavens?
Into the Living Rock Caverns? No, I sent Brad to check that out when it came out.
Yeah, well, that'll be why you don't appreciate it then.
Thank you, Snowskeeper. Jeff, you want to take the next one?
Sure. If Apple made you pay $2, you know, paid money $2 to put out a podcast, would you continue to make this update? I have a 20-minute presentation on Chinese censorship tomorrow for school. What are your opinions on this topic? Stay frosty, Lord Steemo.
Of course we'd put it out for even that price. It's, why not? It's a cheap price, and
yeah.
We host the podcast on our own server, so what's an extra $2 an episode? That'd only be $8 a month. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. which is very cheap compared to what we pay for RSVNB. So, anyways. Chinese censorship? Brad?
What about Chinese censorship?
What do you think? What are your opinions? Do you have any?
Well, you know, I mean, there's not really much to say about it. It's wrong, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More?
Do you have any Chinese friends in China? Either of you?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
I know someone who's in Taiwan at the moment, but
okay. Jeff, thoughts?
The biggest thing I've ever really heard about is I don't pay too much attention to world stuff unless it's something, you know, that I could relate to, but like the biggest thing I heard about with Chinese censorship, if it really is, I'm not sure now, but when they told all of the gold farmers that they could not do their gold farming. And they shut down multiple, actually, gold farming websites. Right. And, you know, arrested and fined anybody found to still be doing it. I mean, you know, my opinion is that, you know, hey, it's a way to make money.
Yeah, but it's not a good way. Like, sure, it's a good way to make money if you want to, but the question is, how many people there actually want to be doing that kind of thing, you know? So.
True.
But, you know, it's a scary prospect that China is slowly becoming the most dominant superpower in the world, and they've got this state run by censorship where it's totally opposite the way it should be, you know, and yet they're still taking a place on the world stage, which I really have a big deal with. As seen, if you would have seen me in the 2008 Summer Olympics, I was the one suggesting that those should be boycotted and that country shouldn't be sending their athletes there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, it's just China. but
did you
for some reason, the world seems to have no problem with that.
Yeah, China actually got a medal taken away from them from the 2000 Olympics for having gymnastics for having girls that were too young to compete.
Yes, yes, I saw that. Brad, did they show that to you?
Yeah, was that one back in 2000? I thought that was more.
Yeah,
recent.
That was in it was from the Sydney 2000 Olympics, but they just got it taken away now.
Okay, yeah.
So the question is, what kind of other things about Beijing 2008 are going to come out over time?
Maybe in 2020 we're going to hear, you know, hey, all those girls, you know, from the Beijing Olympics were too young too.
Yeah, so as you can see, that's my biggest problem with China is them. Like, sure, they can do whatever they want to do. It's their own country, but I don't think a country like that should be allowed on the world stage.
Yeah.
Even if they do have a big economy.
I do agree with that.
So that's my opinion on that. Thank you, Lord Steemo. Brad, next one.
Dear hosts, do you believe that Jagex is real-world trading by giving away the Flagstaff with purchase of a RuneFest ticket? If you don't already know, I'll explain a bit. When people purchase a ticket to RuneFest, they receive a code. When they give Diango the code with his new redeem code option, they get a brand new untradable item, essentially a holiday item. This item is essential to filling up a toy box, and the Flagstaff itself can be placed anywhere in RuneScape. And it'll stay there, visible to everyone, and will not go away even if the owner logs off. So in your opinion, is this real-world trading or not? Keep up the good show. Doorway to death. I wouldn't say it's real-world trading, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with it, because it is something that Jagex have never tried before. It is sort of... it's surprising that they would be doing this, though, considering their strong stance against you know, all the untradeable holiday items. They seem to be allowing people to get those. I mean, they seem to be really against the exclusivity of holiday items, and so recently they've tried to make it so that you can get things back. Stuff like that. If you haven't had a chance before.
And the key about this was it wasn't posted anywhere. We're just going on players' accounts for this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, personally, I don't have a problem with it as you're buying a ticket to a 75-pound ticket, which we calculated as what? $114 US? 140 New Zealand? Something like that?
Yeah, it's a fair bit.
So, I don't have a problem with it, though it does seem slightly hypocritical on Jagex's part for saying no real-world trading, but then they're coming in with their own system. But if they want to do that, it's their game,
well,
and they get their money with it, so be it. That's perfectly fine.
It's not real-world trading. It's not offering anyone an advantage.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just
true.
But it's still kind of buying an item with money.
Yeah.
Sort of. Well,
yeah, it is buying an item with money.
Not primarily. It's a side effect of buying something from Jagex. So, I don't know. Personally, I don't have much of a problem with it. Jeff?
The key thing I picked up out of this, I'm not sure if it's true or not either, because, you know, it's not been posted and I haven't been paying too much about it, but where he said, the item is essential to filling up a toy box. Now, if you're going to do that... You know, there are some of those picky people, you know, who have their houses and they want everything that they can possibly have in those chests full. But if you're going to do that, you know, why, you know, force them to have to buy, you know, a ticket in order to get one of these items, you know? I mean, there's going to be some people, you know, they even said you have to be of legal age, you know, of an adult to go to this event because there's going to be alcohol there. That I found hysterical. But, that's
would
the only thing I would have, you know, against it.
Yeah, we already got this last week. Chief's not going to RuneFest, nor would he if he could. Would you go if you could?
I originally said, I can't go because in America, you know, you have to be 21 to buy alcohol products. But I was like, oh, wait, that's Europe. They don't care. You can be 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly, because I do have a couple of friends over in England who are thinking about going, but I don't know if I want to spend close to, like, you know, $100 on a ticket to...
Yeah, and then top that off with the plane ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I'd be bashed by my friends. Hey, guys, I'm going to England for a RuneScape event. Yay!
How old are you?
Me, I'm 17 right now, but by the time RuneFest comes around, I will be 18.
Well, that's legal age.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways,
when is it exactly?
August 28th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll still be 17.
And see, what'll probably happen to me, knowing me, is if I go there, I'm going to go with my United States, you know, Maryland driver's license, and they're going to go, oh, hey, this is probably fake. I'm going to be like, what? I just paid $100 and you're going to tell me my ID is fake?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyways, next question. I'll take it. Dear host, I have 50 thieving. I've been using the chest in the thieving guild. Should I continue doing this? If not, what should I train on? That's from Penn State 315. Pyramid plunder, definitely.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. It's 51 that, for the stage, isn't it?
51, right, yeah. So one more level. And then it goes really quick after that. So.
Yeah. It'll start getting quick very quickly.
Yeah, there's not much else to say on that, is there?
It's the only way. Yep.
Jeff, you want to take the last one?
Sure. Dear men / men and girl, we've determined I'm a man now. All right. Do you have an opinion on drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico? My opinion is that it is just as dangerous to ship it over from the Middle East. Also, if you were to be asked to be part of the Jagex team, where would you want to work? Content or sound crew would be my choice. Waffle233. My opinion about the oil in the Gulf of Mexico is, you know, we use it, but I don't know. I think if we didn't, gas prices would definitely go way up, and I am not for that.
Yeah, you know, it's perfectly fine to use a natural resource that's part of your country, because if you're not using it, you're not fully utilizing your country, and that unneeded increases your reliance on foreign nations for trade and whatnot. So I think that perfectly fine. Accidents are bound to happen, and quite frankly, the majority of the U.S. oil comes from the Middle East, so it's not going to hit that much of a drop in the bucket, you know. But actually, when Hurricane Katrina came through way back when, and the oil rigs were down, we actually felt the gas prices increase here, even though we don't use your gas, because we were sending our gas produced here to the U.S.
So we felt
that here.
When Katrina hit, actually, we were having some good laughs because over in California, all the way on the western side of the United States, some gas station tried to charge $8 a gallon for regular.
Yeah, here it's only around 90 cents per liter.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So if it's 90 cents per liter, convert that to gallons. I think that's around $3.50, maybe.
Yeah, that's about what we're rolling right now. And see, when you said liter, you know, Americans always we gotta be different. We don't run with that type of measuring system. I hear liter, I'm like, how much is that?
One U.S. gallon is equal to 3.78 liters.
Ah.
So, yeah, around $3.40 per gallon the gas is here.
We're actually running a little bit lower than that. We're at about $3 and about, I'd say, 9 cents U.S. money right now.
Yeah. What's it over there?
We're about double that.
Oh, my.
Double the... Double the 340 or double the 90 cents?
I don't know. We're about $1.80 per liter.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, the worst it gets here is in... Okay. Well, let's see. 180 NZD in Canadian. That's $1.34. So, yeah, that's about what you'd pay if you lived in Atlanta, Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, so yeah, we really don't have much of a problem with drilling for oil. Oh, Jagex team, where would you want to work? Brad?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was just thinking too much about the oil drilling thing.
Graphics?
No, I wouldn't really be into although I would need to fix their interface for them, definitely. And then perhaps web development.
Oh, yeah. They need some help there, too.
They do. But mostly the interface design of the game itself. And they need some consistency in there, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. Jeff?
You know, I was actually going through the questions a couple of days ago, and I came across this one. I thought about it for a while, and I really thought customer service would be fun to work in. One, you get people sending you messages that you can just laugh at, give you a good laugh during your day. But at the same time, you know, I like I'm the type of person that likes to help people out, which is the whole reason why I actually I'm doing my job for Game Battles, because it's all about helping people out. So,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
I think customer service might get kind of old after a while, but...
Hmm. Yeah, I can see how it could get old.
Okay. For me, personally, I'd have to go with Chief and choose the interface design aspect, because that's the area of software engineering I find most interesting and rewarding is UI design. So I'd have to choose that. Or the game engine team. Because for me, I find it's either really, really low-level code as you'd find in a game engine that interests me, or the high-level stuff that you'd see in a user interface kind of thing. Because probably I'll end up, after I'm done my degree, doing something in software engineering in terms of user interface or something software engineering, most likely, unfortunately. Anyways, yeah, it's just I don't particularly like the idea of being given something to build to a specification and building it just to that specification. I like having a little bit of wiggle room, you know, as you would in a user interface design thing. So that's why I kind of like that area of it, of software engineering. And okay. Then just the low-level stuff is interesting because, well, you get to see something go from small to big. Anyways, that was from Waffle233. That's it for questions this week. Thank you, everybody, for the 4 audio questions we got. Audio questions can go to questions@rsbnb.com. Please try to keep them under 30 seconds in length, and we can take almost any format. Keyword being almost. We got a short abridged tech news section this week because I just couldn't find anything interesting this week.
Yay!
The first one is about YouTube is going to start letting some users charge for accessing their content. So, in effect, they're going to be bringing their rental model to the users. It says that YouTube's...
Oh, that's what it means.
The fledgling movie rental program will soon be taking an interesting twist. Some content owners will soon be able to use a self-service tool to charge for access to their videos. So this means...
What does it mean by renting, then?
Well, you pay a fee and you get access to it for a certain time, say 24 hours.
Oh, okay. For a certain time.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Who would do that? This seems like a little bit of a step backwards. Because, I mean, the whole point of YouTube is to let people share whatever they want and just sort of be free.
Well, yeah, they'd still be able to do that.
Yeah,
but
you will.
Imagine this use case of you being say, an owner to a website that specializes in graphics tutorials and people want to charge for tutorials, then charging for a visual tutorial on YouTube would be a good solution rather than implementing your own e-commerce system and implementing a system to limit how long people can use a video for.
Yeah, perhaps.
That's true. But see, I'm turned off from this kind of stuff too, because obviously if they're going to charge you money, well, then that requires a credit card or a bank card, and I am one of those people who rarely gives that kind of information out on the internet, because you never know who's watching.
Okay, I see. What about PayPal? Would you use it if it was PayPal?
PayPal I do trust. PayPal could be an idea.
Well, most likely, since it's a Google property, they go with Google Checkout.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's true.
But I don't know. It's like there's no real competitor to PayPal yet that's trustworthy, because they have that problem getting off the ground. But anyways, what can you do?
Well, PayPal in itself isn't that trustworthy.
It says here, "We're sure that your cat is very cute, but YouTube does not have plans to allow you to charge for access to Fluffy Gets Stuck in the Dishwasher. And likewise, opening up the floodgates to the YouTube masses could result in some unsavory pay $2 to watch me dance business models." That's somewhere Google probably doesn't want to head.
Yeah.
You know, I'd find it interesting that if they allow users who have videos that have over a million views to be able to do that, that would become interesting. Because obviously if it has over a million views, then it's obviously wanting to be viewed.
Yeah. But the thing with the people who already have over a million views like that, those ones do get some... YouTube will contact you if you've got popular videos, and they'll offer you ad money, you know, the ads they put on the videos.
Ah, that's true.
So, it's an interesting time for this because, as I've said before, remember, I'm not sure if you listened to the show from last week, I think, when I gave the long, drawn-out thing about where technology will be in 20 years?
Yeah.
I didn't get to that part. I was listening to it, but...
Oh, that's good.
See, this is inevitably going to be a part of that bigger picture of, in 20 years, what the technology landscape will be like and everything. Because everything, I think, is going to be cloud-based, which is good or bad depending on how you look at it. But in the end, YouTube is going to be playing a big role in terms of the entertainment aspect. So it's just getting started now. But definitely something to watch. Further, for anybody out there who is involved in terms of, or who uses Flash or likes to program in Flash or develops applications for a certain platform run by Apple, the iPhone, iPad, iTouch platform, it's apparently come out that Adobe is behind the Apple antitrust complaints. So, if this gets off the ground as the Microsoft one did, it could very well be interesting, because I think we're at a point in which Apple's more monopolistic than Microsoft was with just bundling a browser on
kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Considering how much they've bashed Microsoft for that at any chance they can get.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any thoughts, Jeff, on this whole anti-Flash Adobe thing that Apple has?
I don't think it's a smart idea on Apple, in my opinion, because, you know, when Apple first released, you know, the iPods and, you know, the iPhones and that kind of stuff, and the iPad, it really couldn't read a lot of internet videos because of what they allowed for videos and such. And I think if they, you know, allowed it, it would definitely be much, much better for them.
Yeah, the thing, I was reading something on this earlier, and they said the reason that they're so anti-Flash on this is they are foreseeing a point in which their computer market is going to become so hard to maintain that profitability with the Mac line that they're going to have to rely totally on the App Store and the iTunes Store, and they want to completely control the channels on that. So, personally, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, never mind.
I was just going to say, personally, I think that it's good to have multiple options as to what to develop with. But when you get a platform that's designed to be a platform in its own, maybe it's just best to let Apple decide what they want to do with it. But I do agree that it is anti-competitive not allowing Flash applications to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking a good compromise would be to allow Flash applications to be compiled and put on the iPhone as they currently are. Because, you know, the main issue is that they're not using Apple's tools to develop them, so allow those, but just don't feature them in the App Store, you know? That sort of thing.
But it's hard to know, because I agree that if Apple want something to be to be their way, then sure, that should. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them doing that. But at the same time, it's really frustrating for the users. I mean, you could at least just give them the ability to do something.
Yeah, so
it's not like a reliance, it's just an option.
Because when you get these people infighting like this, it's really not good for the entire industry.
No.
Because you're not moving anywhere, you're just in a constant battle back and forth. There's no innovation happening. So, but anyways, that's enough on that. We're probably putting most people to sleep. They just want to go play their whatever game they have on their iPod Touch. Which is saying I would probably have an iPhone if the data rates here weren't so stupid.
I had an iPhone and traded it in for an Android.
Oh yeah, what do you think of it?
Oh, it is awesome. I can get I have Skype on my Droid too, so I can be on Skype anywhere and make phone calls.
Oh yeah,
awesome.
That's one thing they're going to be bringing in with the next iPhone OS, is the ability to take Skype calls anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting with Android iPhone OS. I think that's the future of Linux, ultimately, in platforms like Android, not the desktop platform. Because, quite frankly, it's not there yet. Right, Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nothing more to say.
Anyways, well, you were supposed to say you were having problems with Kubuntu and everything.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's just, yep, that's all.
Okay. Our SBNB weekend events. That's this weekend. If you're listening to this on Saturday, there's a chance you might be able to get to the Saturday event, which is, let me just look that up quickly. It is RSBNB's Dungeoneering. RSBNB Dungeoneering, a little competition to see who can get done the dungeon first, hosted by Tim. Then on Sunday, we got RSBNB's Catchy the Fishy, which is a nice name to say, fishing trawler. So, you can find more info about those events at forums.rsbnb.com. Look for the global announcement at the top of the forums that says something about events. You know, we hope everybody goes to these because they're really quite fun to go to. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend the one tomorrow, but I hope to go to the one on Sunday, providing nothing comes up. It shouldn't, but we'll see. You never know. But
yeah, I've been to one or two of these, and they are definitely fun. I wanted to go to the Dungeoneering tomorrow, but I can't because I have my high school prom tomorrow. So,
oh yeah,
that
yeah. So I wonder how we had pest control today. So
yeah, that started right
when we started doing the show.
Yeah,
you know, I have people coming over tomorrow, so that's why I won't be at Dungeoneering.
Ah,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Me, I have no excuse. I'm just not going to be there.
You're going to be sleeping. You're going to be sleeping probably.
Oh, when is it?
1 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be sleeping. I hope.
So aside from that, also in our RSBNB event kind of things, Dungeoneering Skill of the Month is underway, which is the monthly skill competition thing. Currently, X-Blades is winning with 1.2 million Dungeoneering experience gained. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. It's pretty impressive.
Followed by Schwa at 619k, and then Devo at 402k.
They're doing quite well. Better than I expected.
Yeah, they are.
Would.
You know, it
because that's
it
only 8 days, isn't it?
Yeah, and Dungeoneering really speeds up as time goes on.
Hmm.
And the more floors you unlock and stuff, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, someone this afternoon did get 99 Dungeoneering.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
I
really?
Saw that.
The person's name is No Life or O.
Oh.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, they're fully maxed. They have 200 million cooking XP, 200 million thieving XP, and 200 million hunter XP.
And their original name was Skiller703, by the way.
Ah, okay.
And
so
they
maybe they
be,
changed their name to be more reflective in terms of what
yeah.
just happened.
They used to be a regular on 132, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, really?
I have definitely seen
all... I've never seen that person.
Well, I've never seen, like, Kurt Chazel. So,
no.
You know, just lucky with certain people.
Yeah.
My opinion with the high scores is nobody will ever really replace Zazima, my opinion.
Yeah.
For what he did.
Yeah.
I actually knew him. I hung out with him and, on RuneScape here and there a while back. Talked to him a little bit, so.
Oh, yeah. Was he a nice person?
Oh, he's a really chill guy. He's dropped off the radar because he went to college, and he was playing through college, but now he's actually doing work. So.
Okay. What else do we have? Oh, yes, more Dungeoneering. Dungeoneering added this week, early this week, to the RSVNB stat signatures, goal signatures,
Woo.
And competition signatures. So you can get those at rsvnb.com. Very nice signature designs we have, some of which are yours, Brad.
No, nothing
got
new
an update.
From me, but yeah,
no.
They got updates.
Well, yeah, they are technically new because we did give them a bit of a makeover, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. I
also got a new design from Kirby. So yeah, check those out, rsbnb.com.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize that they were brand new, those ones from Kirby, because he sent those in ages ago, didn't he?
Yeah, the thing was with those, they were waiting to be coded, then we found out there was a new skill, and we were busy
yeah.
with so many other things, so we just never did them, but they're done now.
Yep.
And Dungeoneering on the high scores, X-Blades level 78, Schwa 73, and Devo 70. I'm ranked 27.
Hmm.
You are not ranked at all, Brad.
Neither am I.
Anyway, so that's that. I don't think there's anything else besides my pick, which is something I stumbled upon onto the FunOrb website. I very rarely go to FunOrb, but I figured I'd use this as a pick because it's a really, really fun game. Ace of Skies. It's a World War I top-down plane shooter from Jagex.
Oh.
So it's...
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, check it out and give it a try. My Java screwed up for some reason, as if the applet is, like, floating in space. I don't know why. Basically, you use your keyboard controls and... yes?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. Use your keyboard controls, your plane. You have to shoot other planes down and avoid being shot down. Then you can pick up different power-ups that increase your speed, your shields, give you different weapons and that sort of thing. So, actually, part of the reason I chose this was I made kind of like a Java version of this game, but it was set in space.
Hmm.
I remember that.
And
it was terrible.
And you couldn't... Yeah, it was terrible. because you couldn't use the keyboard to control it. It was the mouse entirely. So, yeah. But Anyways, that's Fun Orb, Ace of Skies.
Shane actually showed me this game, and I would just like to point out that my accuracy is far higher than his.
Yeah, mine was like 13%, wasn't it? What was yours?
Oh, 20-something? Brush off.
That's with my trigger-happy thing. Like, Jeff, you said you play Modern Warfare 2, but I play that too, and every time I use a machine gun, I tend to get the trigger-happy accolade.
Yeah, you shouldn't be using machine guns. They used to be so frowned upon back in the day, but now no one cares about it.
Jeff, give us a bit of an idea of what your week's consisted of.
My week's been one of those very interesting weeks. Been getting ready for prom. My mom actually got sick on Sunday. I had to call an ambulance. That was not good. But,
Hope she's okay now.
Yeah, she's doing fine now. She thought she was having a heart attack, but she wasn't. She felt silly afterwards. But, but,
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, that's exactly what the paramedic said, so.
Yeah.
I had my school's, I go to a technical school for electricity, and there's a whole other classes in it, and we had our field day today, which is where we go outside and just chill, you know, play games, that kind of stuff. Did tug of war, and we definitely, you know, made fools of the other team because we're all pulling on, you know, the rope, and they're pulling, like, as hard as they can. They're trying so hard. We just said, you know what, let's just drop it. So all of us, like, go at once, and they all fall back backwards, and we were like, oh, yeah. We lost the battle, but won the war.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Anything else you want to share?
No, not really.
Okay. Brad?
Oh, you know me. Just continue with school and stuff. Not doing anything too interesting at the moment. Although okay. I have just finished one big project for art design at school, everything that we've done so far this year, so I'm happy about that. I'm sort of semi-free at the moment.
So I'm taking advantage. Don't say that.
Well,
don't
say that. I won't be for very long.
Because something will ultimately come up.
Yep.
Something will come up that you have to do before your next stuff starts. But
yep. That's how it tends to be.
Anything else?
No, that's all I've been doing.
Okay. You want to talk about...
exciting life.
Your Kubuntu or anything?
Oh, that was just like a brief endeavor.
Okay.
I was getting... Yeah, nothing that interesting.
Okay. As for me, not much this week. It's project transition phase, transitioning from the goal sig... redo for the Dungeoneering, which was really quite interesting because I found bugs in the goal sig system that existed since the system was written, but nobody ever reported them for some reason.
Really?
So that was slightly interesting, finding out that if you tried to make a quest point goal sig, it would say you always had 100% complete. That was really quite interesting.
Oh, there was this one bug that got reported via the you know, the site control panel. Did I never tell you about that?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. It was sort of a really
Later.
Obvious one. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Okay. And other bugs they found was just coloring issues on some of the SIGs, but yeah, it's all fixed now, and my next step is to go through the metal system, find out what we need from a software perspective, and start figuring out how that's going to be done in a minimal amount of code so we don't break PHVBB. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good fun. And that's about it. So I think it's time to say that RSBMB update 255 is done. We will see you guys next week for 8 bits of RSBNB update.
Oui, oui.
For Jeff, GameBattles.com.
See y'all
and
later.
And Mr. Chief Snake, who is floating about somewhere on a raft in New Zealand. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.